Well, as promised, Wendy, it is Friday. I mentioned it the other day. I go, so in a couple of days, you'll probably see Friday, and you were skeptical. But here it is. It's Friday. It happened.
And it's your responsibility for bringing that to us.
I'm trying my best. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. All kinds of fun stuff on today's show. We're thrilled that you're listening. We'll talk to a representative of the Adler Planetarium because there's a lot of big Mars news.
You're going to be able to see Mars, which you can with the naked eye, but it's going to be bigger and better and brighter.
Yes. Yes.
What about Uranus?
We won't have time for that.
Speaking of naked eyes.
Sorry. I know I'm a 12-year-old boy sometimes, but I can't help myself.
The reason that they changed the name of the planet was because of ne'er-do-wells like yourself.
Uranus. That's not really that much better.
That's also pretty goofy. I know. Also, they have found the possibility of life on Mars through water. We'll get into that later as well.
And there's a huge lunar eclipse tonight.
Yes.
Which won't be visible from this area.
That's sad. Well, that's very sad.
Well.
Where do we have to go to see it?
At the Adler.
Is that where it is? Is that where we can see
Bangladesh
it?
Or something.
Bangladesh? All right.
I think much of the world can see it, just not us.
Well, we're going to find out all about it.
Sell the tickets. It's a blackout.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be here because I wanted Tom Skilling to cry again.
He gets very
really
emotional.
Did.
He gets
oh,
very emotional.
I can make
emotional.
Tom cry. Let's get him on the phone.
You can make anyone cry.
Do you want to disclose how you make him cry, Steve, or is that best left to our imaginations?
I don't want to ruin the spell.
Hey, you know, Krispy Kreme is celebrating their 81st birthday. Who would have thought?
Have they been around for 81 years?
Yeah, July 27th, and they dropped off some amazing original glazed. I love them. Krispy Kreme donuts in Chicagoland celebrating their birthday with a special release of their new glazed confetti donuts and $1 original glazed donuts with a purchase of any dozen. It's all happening today, Friday, July 27th, at the Chicagoland shops in Homewood and Evergreen Park. So enjoy some Krispy Kreme,
won't
you?
Happy birthday, Krispy Kreme.
81. They lost their teeth.
Right. It's sad. All right. No matter how bad of a day any of you had yesterday, and I don't know the specifics, but maybe, you know, how some days are better than others.
Yeah.
Some people have good days, some people have bad days. No matter how bad your day was, I would think that Mark Zuckerberg had a worse day as he dropped $16 billion in one day.
Which is like how much for us?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fraction of what he's worth, so.
Right.
No person should have that much money or value. I'm sorry. Well, that's too much money. It ruins a person.
It would change a person. I don't know if it would. It ruin somebody?
If all of a sudden you had billions and billions of dollars.
Do you think it would ruin me or change me?
You would somehow recreate Dispenza's Castle of Toys.
It's a toy store.
Oak Brook Terrace.
Illinois.
And you would live in it.
Is
and
that
you'd leave
bad?
Your family.
Is that bad?
I don't know.
All in purple with a derby.
You would be a very, you that would ruin you.
I would still find time for my friends.
If they came to your castle.
Maybe.
You'd have toy servants.
Yeah, I would have that. I'd have a car made of chocolate.
See,
lower the drawbridge. It's Wendy.
Right. And now lift it, quick.
It's Steve.
No, he meant for me. Half of this is funny and half of this is sad because if you really had all that money to blow, you'd do something like that.
Can I say that, you know, I do play the lottery from time to time just for kicks.
Yeah. What'd you win?
I won the Mega Millions earlier this week, the $4 prize. And
Did it change you, Steve?
I feel unchanged, right, but I am a Mega Millions winner. But in all seriousness, I'm more likely play the lotto game than
me too,
because I don't want that much money. $7 million will do me just fine.
$1 million would be good for me. I'll take one.
Yeah,
I just think I would take it. I do play them once in a while. I would certainly take it, but I do think it would be hard
to manage it. Right?
Well, yeah, there'd just be so much that came with it.
You could buy the radio station.
That'd be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, Steve.
Okay.
Think about it.
If I came into that money, I'd buy this baby.
Yeah, in a minute. But think about, like, you know how you have stuff happen to you throughout the day, and then you go home, and you're, in this case, your husband will go, how'd your day? Mostly good, but then there was this, and then you share it. Imagine he goes home yesterday, and Mrs. Zuckerberg goes, Mark, how did everything go today?
His wife or his mother?
He lives with his wife.
Oh. The way you said it sounded
like... Mr. Zuckerberg could be either.
Yeah.
But then he goes, mostly, the day was mostly good. We had Thai food for lunch. That was really good. And I saw Kevin again. I hadn't seen Kevin in a week. Kevin came in. And I lost $16 billion also.
Well, where was the last place you had it?
Right. We'll find it.
Probably with your keys, honey.
I mean, you know, it is stock valuation, too, and the stock is going to go back up, so it's not like he's going to...
Right, right. There is a silver lining in this, but still, boy, that'd be hard to sleep. Wouldn't you? You just go home and you go, oh, man, $16 billion in a day.
Not if I was him.
No? Because just because he has so much money, is that why?
Yeah, I'm still upset that we wasted $200 at Disney because we didn't go to Disney Country.
So that was $200.
Or Disney California, sorry.
Were the hours not on the ticket, Wendy?
I don't think they were. They were on the woman who sold it to me. It was on her little calendar that was the size of... It was like a monthly calendar. And she turns it around. She goes, this is where we list all our events and the times. It's like, how do you even see that?
Oh.
But Mickey Mouse, I emailed Mickey, and he said he was going to compensate me.
Oh, well, then everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's all right.
Darn it, come on.
Let's take a quick break. Well, quick break, and then there's
Mickey
more show.
What was the...
His throat hurts.
Can't do it.
We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Did something change that all of a sudden, every day, there's more carjackings?
I think when you hear it on the news and you hear that people got away with it, they're going to go, hey, I can get a new car, too. But here's the deal. They don't really get away with it. They typically get in an accident or get caught.
Right. Right.
And I'll tell you right now, I never carry cash on me. So don't even bother stealing my purse. It's heavy. There's so much crap in it. It's not worth it.
All right. You saying that reminds me of what I was thinking of this morning. As you know, I don't have the ability to go to a cash station and get money. Like if somebody said...
I am so happy you called it cash station because my kids make fun of me. It's an ATM.
It's an ATM, but aren't they also...
Not anymore. Originally, it was named a cash station.
Right.
So
an ATM.
I'm happy you said that.
An ATM. All right. So if the guys were carjacking me and they did what happened yesterday and said... You don't have any money on you? We'll take us to a place where there is money. I'd be dead because I don't have the ability.
What do you mean you don't have the ability?
I don't have an ATM card.
I bet you do.
I don't. I really don't. I'd be dead because I don't know. I don't know how to work it. I don't have a card. I don't have the ability.
Do you have a checkbook
in
your pocket?
I'm not signed up for it.
You go write a check.
$20.
In an unbelievable lapse, Wendy, I asked Bill today if he ever used Apple Pay.
Why?
Steve asked the question. We're in the office. He goes, do you ever use Apple Pay? And we both just looked at each other and burst out laughing.
I don't use that either. I use my debit card for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe you live without a debit card.
I can't figure out. Sometimes Terry and I will be somewhere and she'll pull out a card and then she'll say, tell them it's a debit or tell them it's a credit. And I don't know how she makes that decision.
You decide.
I don't know what the difference is.
Well, a debit, it comes out immediately, and you press in your PIN number.
Yeah.
But we have been told with our security expert, who we should have on again, because he's pretty good, he always says, don't use it as a debit card. Like, if you're filling up for gas, and it says, is this a debit card? I always hit no.
It's a credit card.
Because it can be either, and then that way I don't have to punch in my PIN, and that's less information they get from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I got hacked at the gas station.
Oh, really?
Yes. Did you use it as a debit?
Did you have one of those films that was on the slidey thing?
I guess, yeah. And it's, I don't know, they must have had one of those things attached to it.
Because every time I go to fill up the tank, I feel around on that thing, but I don't really know what I'm looking for. And I'm like, looks good to me, and then I put my card in.
You're feeling around to see if there's an extra, like, coating where the card goes in.
Or something moves a little bit. I don't know what I'm looking for, really.
Yeah, me either. I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking around over my shoulder. Anybody looking at me? cover it up. You know how they tell you when you're at the Jewel to cover it up if you're putting
your PIN
in there.
No one is looking over your shoulder for your PIN number. And if they don't have the card...
They don't need to, right? Because they just put something on the machine. And then they take it when you're not looking, right? Don't they?
That's what they did to me.
That's how they do it. Did that end up costing you any money after all was said and done, Mary? Or?
I think no. They stopped it right away. They stopped it right away.
My son Michael is 19 years old. He woke up in the morning and there was this $200 and some dollar credit charge for a cable provider that we don't even have, and then a $50 thing charge at Venmo. And he looked at it and said, wow, that's not mine. So he called our bank right away, and they said, okay, no problem. We'll send you some documentation.
Yeah.
We'll take it off.
Oh, good.
And then I said, let's get a new debit card. And he goes, they told me that my numbers weren't compromised. And I said, well, that is stupid.
Yeah,
of course it was compromised.
Somebody already used it once. Why wouldn't they use it again?
Well, it turns out they weren't compromised because we went to the bank just to be on the safe side to get a new debit card. And they said, I don't know if somebody just randomly punched in numbers.
Right.
But nothing was slid through. There was no transaction. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the transaction didn't go through. Mm. It was unapproved. Mm-hmm. But it was so confusing to me. How does that happen? Does somebody just randomly punch in numbers? Who does that? I don't know how any of this works.
I don't know if they randomly do, but there must be something. There must be some way.
But the bank said, you don't need a new debit card. This number wasn't used. And I said, let's just get one anyway.
Definitely get another one. Yeah.
Although you can no longer do Chase banking, and you can no longer go into a Chase bank and get an immediate debit card. They used to have it where you could go if you lost yours.
Yes.
And they'd basically print one up for you. And they said that has changed. They don't do it anymore because of fraud. Because people were coming in and just going, oh, yeah, I lost my card.
Yeah.
See? And then, it was John Lovitz.
It was?
Yep.
That's unusual.
They cracked the case.
I didn't see that coming. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars.
I've been obsessed with Mars. Haven't we all? I mean, Martians.
Sure.
It's Bill Lepp. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to be talking about Mars. Will we be able to see it with the naked eye? Is this the closest it's ever been to Earth? I know it's no. Michelle Nichols is here, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Michelle, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm a bit of a planet outer space nerd. I really am. It's so cool to think about it. The big red planet is Mars. Why are Martians green then?
Oh, gosh. Well, if they were red, you wouldn't see them.
All right. That was a great answer.
But
see why I like her?
Of all the planets, Christmas must be insane on Mars with all the red and all the green.
That's my gosh. One of the worst movies ever made.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Yes. If you haven't seen it.
Love it.
Yeah, it's
so
worth
much fun.
It.
All right, so we're going to talk about the lunar eclipse because Steve Bertrand brought that up, and everybody, this is the water cooler talk. Everybody's talking about this lunar eclipse that's happening. Let's start there. We can't see it from Chicago, can we?
Nope, it's starting in about 2 hours-ish Chicago time, and the sun's up, and so here, so that means the moon is not up, because when the sun goes down, the full moon rises, so you have to be on a part of the Earth that faces the moon in order to see that lunar eclipse. So folks over in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, parts of Asia, they're going to be able to see the lunar eclipse at various times of the night. So
we usually lose out on great stuff in space because of all the lights in the city. So this time it's not because of all the lights.
Right.
It's just literally
we are not facing the moon when this eclipse is occurring. However, there is at least one observatory. Barakat Observatory in Israel is going to be live webcasting the eclipse if it's clear where they are. So you can go online and just search for that and should be able to watch it.
All right. These are where my dumb questions come from. I'm sorry.
All right.
It's a lunar eclipse. So what's... The sun is going past it?
Nope. So
what's happening?
Mm. That's all right. So sometimes the names can be a little confusing. And this one isn't exactly descriptive. Or properly descriptive. So what's happening is you've got the sun, the earth, and the moon in a line. So sun shines on earth. Earth casts a shadow. The moon passes through that shadow. And that's where you get that kind of reddish color. So that's what a lunar eclipse is.
And how come there are some nights where you see the moon before it's dark out?
That's because the moon is...
Do you know what I mean? Have you seen
it? Wendy's credit, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's a question
people have. The first one was horrible, Wendy. But that question, that's a real question.
People have that question a lot. So the moon, as it goes around the Earth, there's a lot of times in the moon's orbit where it's up during the day.
Yeah.
You just don't really notice it because the sky is so bright that
right.
you don't really notice the moon. So like first quarter moon, for example, when the right half of the moon is lit up, that is when the moon is making a 90-degree angle with the Earth and the sun. So it's sun, Earth, and then and make a 90 degree angle to the right, and that would be where the moon is. And so if you've got the two things in the sky, you've got the moon is 90 degrees away from the sun. And so that means when the sun goes down, the moon is high in the south.
Right. Okay.
But if you wind the clock backwards a little bit, it means the sun is up and the moon is in the eastern part of the sky. I know this is kind of hard to describe when we're on the radio. So folks are kind of going, what?
No, it makes sense.
It did make sense.
Yeah, next time, look for first quarter moon, for example. Look at the date. You can look them up. And look for the moon in the sky, in the eastern sky, when the sun is in the western sky. And you'll see it.
There was a very bright moon last night.
Yeah.
Was that a full?
Not quite. So you need full moon for that lunar eclipse to occur. So full moon is tonight.
Okay.
So, but it was almost full last night.
It was pretty beautiful and bright.
It was. Yeah, we were looking at it through the telescopes last night.
What do you see? Does it really look like cheese? Do you see Jackie Gleason? Another dumb question.
Jackie Gleason, haven't seen him.
No, his face is not appearing in the moon yet.
They have craters that's where the moon is made of cheese theory
came
from.
Right, it looks like Swiss cheese. Yeah. It would have to be just your regular white Swiss. So, but the sunlight, if it's not full moon, then the sunlight is shining on some of these craters, and you can see them in the mountains. You can see relief on the moon. So seeing the moon when it's not, anytime when it's not full moon, that's a great time to point a telescope at
really?
The moon.
Really? Because there's some darkness there?
Yeah. As long as there's a line of darkness, we call that the terminator. So where the shadow meets the light part. If you can see that shadow where it meets the light part, that's where you want to point your telescope. Or even a pair of binoculars works great.
What do you say to the moon landing deniers who say it was all done in a TV studio, nobody's been on
really
the moon?
Who really believes that? Come
there
on.
Are people,
about 20% of the American public.
Isn't that crazy?
That.
Yeah.
And still to this day.
Yeah.
Because there's a really terrible TV show on about 15-ish years ago, and it seemed pretty convincing. But if you take a look at the science, none of it stacks up. My really snarky answer is, I had lunch with Buzz Aldrin. The man's been to the moon.
Yeah, right.
And don't cross him. but I think it is so... It does such a bad service to 400,000 people who worked on the Apollo moon program.
Sure.
And claiming that those people were all part of a conspiracy and a hoax.
Yeah.
Really? No, the simpler answer is we went to the moon.
Yeah.
And so I invite anyone to look up. There's a gentleman by the name of Phil Plait, and he has an astronomy site called Bad Astronomy, and he completely debunks the moon hoax
good.
Yeah, check that out.
I have another question about the moon. I think it's called the Harvest Moon. I could be wrong, but I do like Neil Young. It's giant and orange, and sometimes you see that, and in a matter of an hour, it's just back up in the sky like a regular size. Yep. What is that, and why is it so big at some point?
So every full moon has a name, or more than one name. So some names are given by Native American people. Some names are given by Europeans. There's one called the Strawberry Moon. There's the moon before Yule, the moon after Yule. It's basically what's going on at that time and which full moon is this. And so that one usually occurs somewhere around mid-September to mid-October, so around harvest time. And the moon is rising pretty slowly in the sky. It's taking kind of a shallow angle, and when you see it on the horizon, it looks huge, but it's all an optical illusion. And here's an experiment that you can do. Don't do this in the car, people. Not
pull
you
over.
You want to make sure you don't do it right now because you can't see the moon. But next time you see full moon, so if you see it tonight, go outside, check for it near the horizon. So when the sun goes down, start looking for the moon. It'll be in the eastern sky. Take your thumb. Stick your thumb out at arm's length and compare the size of the moon to the tip of your thumb. Mm-hmm. And the answer is it'll be about one quarter the width of your thumb. And then do that again when the moon is higher in the sky, maybe 2 hours later, 3 hours later. It'll be the same size. I realize in a perfect world I would not give you the science answer before you do the experiment, but so
why wouldn't it be bigger as it was coming?
It's an optical illusion. Your brain is essentially trying to compare it to the horizon and what it sees, and your brain's trying to make sense of this, and
even
it can't.
Big giant harvest moon, if I put my thumb out.
Yep.
Really? Wendy's got pretty big thumbs, though, Michelle. Does that change the equation a little bit?
She might have slightly longer arms.
Maybe that's what it is.
So it all evens out.
But it's an illusion the same way when you're a kid and your parents are driving in a car and you see the moon off in the horizon behind the trees and you go, the moon is following
us, right?
It's the same principle.
Yeah, the moon is not following you. Or maybe it is.
All right, we are going to find out. That's our lunar portion. We are going to find out about Mars and also this cool program that's happening through the Adler Planetarium that was your brainchild. We'll talk about that. She's Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. You can go to adlerplanetarium.org. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN. All right, we are talking about Mars. It's heading our way. Michelle Nichols is with us, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Now, I read something saying last night I was with my kids. I said, oh, look at how big the moon is. I said, sometime this weekend, Mars is going to be right next to it and just as big. That's not accurate,
nope,
is it?
Not at all. No, Mars is never, ever, ever as big as the full moon in the sky. If it is, we have problems. So for Mars to be as big as the full moon in the sky, it would have to be less than 500,000 miles away from us. And the closest Mars has been in the last 60,000 years is about 35 million miles away. That was 2003.
Yeah.
But on Monday night into Tuesday morning, Mars is going to be as close as it's been to Earth since 2003. And it'll be about a little under 36 million miles
away. Does that alter the gravitational pull of the Earth at all?
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
Because if the moon gets closer, it does, right?
A little bit. It mostly would just affect tides, but not any of us. But it makes Mars look really bright in the sky.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
And is it like an orangey red?
Yes, very, very much.
So this will stand out more because I've seen it. There are apps you can get that show you what constellation you're looking at or if that's a planet. And I don't know if my eye tricks me into seeing it being a little reddish, but will we truly be able to see the color this time?
Absolutely. We were looking at it last night and it is blazingly bright orange. You cannot mistake it. Yes.
All right. And you're having a viewing party on Monday night because when is the peak of looking at this?
2:51 a.m. Central Daylight Time Tuesday morning is when Mars and Earth are closest. However, if it's cloudy, if you don't want to be up at 2:51 in the morning, and I don't blame you, you can look at it from now till the end of August, and it'll still be that bright. So it'll start dimming out as Earth and Mars start going away from each other a bit in the solar system, but that's throughout the fall. So you definitely have time to see it.
I want to ask you this question, but I want to ask it correctly. So as soon as I'm wrong, just stop me. That's record time.
Wendy, not me.
All right. So they've always believed that if there was water on Mars, either currently or at any time in the past, it would have evaporated very quickly because of the heat, right?
Of heat.
Because of why?
Low air pressure.
Low air pressure.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
But now they think that there is water there.
Yeah. So there was an exciting news story from a couple days ago where scientists on the Mars Express spacecraft team said that their radar data strongly suggests that there is liquid water in some mixture. It could be liquid water. It could be water mixed with rocks and stones and stuff underneath the south polar cap of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it wouldn't boil away because the ice would keep it from boiling away.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say for 100% sure that it's there until we send something there to drill down in the ice and strike water. But it is strongly suggestive that this lake.
That's big news.
Yeah, huge news.
That's big news.
Yeah.
And they think that there's a component similar to salt. I don't know, if they had salt on Mars, it wouldn't be exactly like our salt, would it?
It could be.
Yeah.
Salty could be regular salt, could be some other kind of salt. There are different kinds of salts.
But
kosher salt,
Epsom salt.
Right. Right. And so, right, because Epsom salt is magnesium chloride. So I think. Oh.
Yes, you're
right. Yes. Okay, good. And so, yeah.
How do you know?
I don't know.
But what's really amazing is the temperature of that water could be extraordinarily low. Could be 90 degrees below zero. How do you have water
liquid? And it stays liquefied?
Right. How do you have that happen? Well, you throw enough salt in it, it's going to lower the freezing point. And so
let's say that this is true, and we hope that it is true. does that equal life on Mars because of this?
It equals go study that, because that could be an interesting habitat for life to exist on Mars if it's there.
How did you guys discover this? Like infrared things through a telescope?
Radar. So they send radar waves from this spacecraft down to the surface. And normally what they're looking for is water, ice. But the radar reflections that they got back, they're like, that's not ice. That's potentially liquid. They tried to rule out other possibilities. And they said the one piece that stayed in the data was it could be water. It could be liquid water. So, but
that's
yeah.
pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to think of. It would be the first planet other than Earth to have liquid water on its surface.
That we know of. There
that
could
we
be
know
other
right.
planets out
well,
there in another
exactly
solar system.
Right. There are other worlds in our solar system with liquid water, but it's below the surface.
So when this news came out the other day, did people in your line of work just go nuts?
Flipped out.
I would imagine.
We had to temper our flipping out a little bit, because we're like, oh, wait, this is really cool. Oh, hang on. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure no one else is out there saying no, but it could be this. But even NASA said, a scientist from JPL said, plausible. And Mythbusters fans, we all know plausible is about as good as you get
yes.
in science, until you go like drill in the ice and
right.
strike water.
Oh, yeah. That's
it amazes me to think about the ocean and how big it spans and how much life is out there and you don't know. That's like the solar system.
Yeah.
Space, the final frontier, Bill.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a watch party Monday night. How do people get involved with watching the Mars event?
So we're there free. Come out 9 to 11 p.m. Even if it turns out to be cloudy, where I think we're still planning on being there. But check our Twitter and Facebook feeds just to be on the safe side. We don't want people to trudge all the way down there if we're going to get rained on or anything like that. But we'll have folks out there. You can touch a piece of Mars while you're there. So
that's
that Mars
cool.
in the sky up there, you'll be able to hold a piece of it in your hand.
Oh, that's exciting.
And another thing, you have Scopes in the City. And again, you can find this at AdlerPlanetarium.org and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Tell us what Scopes in the City is. This is so cool.
We take telescopes out to various places, including libraries, parks, and businesses. And some of those businesses include tap rooms. And last night we were at Five Rabbit Cerveceria in Bedford Park. And we've been to others, and we're going to a few more, including a few here in Chicago. But Guile, Dovetail, Half Acre, and we know beer drinkers love their science. So come on out, beer drinkers.
Why not Blue Moon then? Doesn't make sense.
Oh, we just had to choose 10 of them, and those are the 10 that I started with.
Oh,
and so
right.
if anyone has any suggestions for good tap rooms to go to, let me know.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, I love it. Michelle Nichols, Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. Some interesting things going on in the world of space right now. You can go to adlerplanetarium.org. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, look them up. Thank you so much.
Thank
and come
you
back
very
and
much.
See us again.
I will.
All right, a quick break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Dance with me. I was dancing.
Yeah, I saw you dancing. That was exciting. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Dancing Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to reach us. Comments, questions, any of that. Every Friday, we talk to Alexander Zalbin. He is the managing editor over at Decider.com, a great website. If you like entertainment news, if you like TV news, go to Decider.com. Alexander, great to have you back. How are things?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be back. Thanks
Good.
For having me on
You're
again,
You're very,
guys.
Very welcome. Here's a story that just broke moments ago, and it's shocking. Let's talk about what's going on over there with Les Moonves at CBS.
Yeah, so this is actually a story about a story. Ronan Farrow, who is mostly credited with breaking open a lot of the Harvey Weinstein stuff for The New Yorker, reportedly has a second story that is going to drop later today, again for The New Yorker, this time about sexual misconduct allegations involving the CBS chairman and CEO, Les Moonves, as you mentioned. Details aren't totally clear. CBS is not necessarily commenting, since the article is not quite up on The New Yorker yet, but it seems like there might have been unwanted kissing, unwanted touching, both from 20 years ago and potentially a pattern that continued closer to today.
Julie Chen think of that? I've been watching her on Big Brother every night. She's been married to him for many years.
Mm-hmm. They've been married since 2004, I think. just to mention, this is just facts. This is not a comment on anybody's character.
Right.
But Moonves got divorced from his previous wife and then married Julie Chen 2 weeks later. So I don't know. I don't know what she's going to think. I don't know how it's going to affect CBS. One of the bigger things that's going on, and this was kind of the call here in the office, our editor-in-chief Mark Graham immediately shot this out on our Slack, but they're in the middle of some litigation where Sherry Redstone wants to merge again CBS and Viacom, and Les Moonves is sort of stuck in the middle there. They're in the middle of some litigation, so potentially this is something that could really affect that deal as well.
Here's what's strange about this, Alex, and maybe you know more about it than I do, but anytime I've heard Les Moonves' name, it's always in a positive light. It's not one of those guys that people go, oh, I wonder about that guy. He seemed to be a fairly upstanding guy, and then this comes out.
I mean, listen, that's the thing with all of these things. I think you don't really know what goes on in people's heads, what goes on behind closed doors until we find out in the New Yorker or other papers or people come forward. I agree with you that front-facing, he certainly is a very genial guy. I've seen him speak in person a number of times, and he's always very charming and well-spoken and a good advocate for the CBS brand. But ultimately, he spends a lot of day in an office, and whether this is true or not, we don't know what went on there.
Wow.
This is going to sound bad, but he was accused of unwanted kissing and touching, and you had mentioned that it was from 20 years ago, but then up until fairly recently. In a weird way, if it was just the 20 years ago, I almost feel like, not that that's right, but that's what happened back then, and if his track record was clean, it wouldn't bother me so much, but the fact that it has continued is bothersome. And what is Ronan Farrow doing, being the guy who brings everybody down? I'm glad he's doing this, but it just, who made him the poster boy of doing this?
Well, I mean, technically he's not. There's a number of female reporters who work for the Times as well who helped really break open the Harvey Weinstein story, but he's gotten a lot of credit for it. The thing that happens is because he was able to responsibly tell people's stories, more people feel comfortable coming forward and talking to him is essentially the way that I see it working. The other thing that I'd say about the 20 years ago thing, I think I'm on the same table with you, but at the same time, because these things are so tricky, I would argue that if we may have found out about 20 years ago, but it doesn't mean that he's clean now and everything's been good. It just means nobody said anything after that, you know? So again, these things are very tricky to talk about. I'm sure we'll know a lot more later today when the Farrow expose drops. I'm sure he has very much backed up his sources and information. And ultimately, if he has, this doesn't look very good for Les Moonves.
On the flip side of this, Wendy and I discussed this a little bit yesterday, but not with you, Alex. Chris Hardwick has been reinstated on Talking Dead, correct?
That is correct. According to AMC, there was a comprehensive assessment of Chris Hardwick. They found no wrongdoing in this case and returned him to work. You're still going to see Yvette Nicole Brown, who was subbing in for him. For a little while, she's going to be on. There's a Walking Dead reunion season 9 preview special that I think is going up August 5th. So she'll be hosting that. She's going to be a guest on Talking Dead when that returns for the premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead. But Chris Hardwick is back as the host for both Talking Dead and Talking with Chris Hardwick as of end of August.
In your opinion, does he address this on air, or does he just go on without addressing it?
That is a tricky one.
Question.
Yeah, I mean, I think it honestly has a lot to do with whatever legal recommendations that A, AMC has, and B, the consulting firm that they called in, I believe it's Loeb & Loeb, to talk about the case. They may specifically urge him not to talk about it at all. Personally, I think it would be an oversight if he did not address it in any way. It certainly sets up a very weird hour of television either way, but it would be unfortunate if he doesn't address it.
I don't know him at all, and when these allegations came out, I was thinking, there's no way this happened. They were in a relationship together. I will not name names, but there are some people we speak to on the air on a regular basis who kind of seem to side with his
Chloe Dykstra.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people I know seem to say that too. Like, I've heard things about Chris Hardwick and I side with her. But what does this mean for her accusations now? Were they not true? What happens with that?
I mean, listen, she actually put out a statement today responding to, it was either today or late yesterday, responding to Chris being cleared. And once again, she affirmed the reason she was doing this was not to get Chris Hardwick. It was to essentially, not to get too esoteric about it, but to clear her soul, to get this off of her chest so she could move on with her life. She never named his name in the initial statement, in the Medium post that she put out. It was pretty clear that it was Chris, but she never called him out. She never said, everybody go get Chris Hardwick or anything like that. This was about something that she went through that she wanted to express so that she could clear the deck. And again, she reaffirmed this in the second statement, thanked everybody for their kind messages, and said she's ready to move on with her life.
Alex, did you, I'm sorry, Wendy, did you by any chance get to see any of Roseanne Barr yesterday? She was on Sean Hannity's show.
She's again, losing her mind.
That's my fear. Did you see any of it, Alex? Were you able to watch any of this?
Not to be a terrible person. I don't know if it's losing so much as lost. She has gone so back and forth on the statement about Valerie Jarrett, given every possible excuse from being Jewish and having relatives who were in the Holocaust to some of my best friends are black.
So she didn't know she was black. That was an excuse
was
at some
crazy.
Point. It's like that scene in Animal House where John Belushi is making excuses. My dog ate it. He's just running off all these excuses. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the quote you mentioned, that there were several things that she said that were ridiculous / shocking, but she said, her skin tone is like mine and I'm brown. I didn't know she was African American. Just a hot tip for anybody listening. Never say that out loud. Just don't say anything like that ever.
She should have just kept not talking. I think it would have been better. Mm-hmm. She's making it worse every time she opens up about this now, don't you think?
Absolutely. And listen, there's been a lot of flaps about what you can tweet and what you can't tweet. But ultimately, what everybody has pointed out, and I think correctly, about Roseanne is she didn't stop talking. She had some horrible tweets before they picked up Roseanne for the revival. Everybody knew that. But then she kept going. She couldn't stop herself from tweeting. She couldn't stop herself from talking. And ultimately, for better or for worse, that was the problem there.
Horrible. All right, we'll pick this up in just a little bit. More television talk with Alexander Zalbin from The Decider, decider.com.
Watching TV because we're talking TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why. If you're going to talk about it, you should also watch it. We've got Alexander Zalbin on from The Decider, decider.com, a great, great website. The affair is coming to an end. Is that right, Alex? What do you know about this?
That is correct. We don't know a ton of information. It's currently running a season 4 that ends about mid-August, but they decided to end the show on their own terms. They're going to do one more season after this, season 5, and then that's it for the show. We don't necessarily know how many episodes or what's going to be on at this point.
What is this show? I'm sorry, The Affair. I've never...
Oh, you've never heard of it?
Yeah.
It's a big hit. It's been a big hit for
a
while.
In it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of those shows.
Maura Tierney, is that her name?
Really love. Sorry?
Maura Tierney is the actress in it, right? Mm-hmm. From ER.
Yeah, Maura Tierney, Dominic West, Ruth Wilson, and Josh Jackson, a.k.a. Pacey from Dawson's Creek. So, yeah, they're going to wrap it up after another season, which is very nice for the actors and very nice for fans of the show to have it end on its own terms, I think.
Over at HBO, they've got a hit on their hands with this Amy Adams show, Sharp Objects. Haven't seen it yet. Hear great things about it. People were hoping there'd be more, but it looks like maybe one season and out for this, huh?
Yeah. One of our great writer-editors, Megan O'Keefe, is actually currently out at the TCA, which is the Television Critics Association tour, where there's a ton of panels going on. So she has a lot of coverage going up about it. And one thing that happened was Casey Bloys, the head of HBO, in the very first panel came out and said, nope, no season 2 for Sharp Objects. You know, it's interesting when you look at that compared to, say, Big Little Lies. Both of them were based on books. Nobody really expected there to be a second season of Big Little Lies because there's no other books beyond that. But according to him, all of the actors on Big Little Lies were super into doing more. They really wanted to pursue it. So they ended up doing it. On the other hand, Sharp Objects is very dark. It's a really hard character for Amy Adams to play. The story is going to be done after one season. So no season two for the show.
There's a story that I read this morning, Alex, and I didn't clear it with you. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'd love your comment on it. Meghan Markle, the new princess there in England, there's now been a ban on British television saying that her family, you know, she has an extended family with a half-brother and a half-sister.
A half-fiancé who beat up the half-brother.
Right. It gets a little crazy. They say that no member of Meghan Markle's family is allowed to appear on a British reality show. Did you hear this?
No, I haven't heard about that.
They say that it would be damaging to the reputation of the royals, so they've put out an edict saying, in America, if you want to do that, because I think her half-sister is up for some American reality show, but they say, as far as Great British television is concerned, they won't have it.
Good for them.
I mean, listen, that's okay. Not everybody needs to be on a reality show. And
right.
I think ultimately they're right. You know, so that's something that Meghan Markle knew when she was getting into royalty, is that her entire life would change forever. And ultimately it is going to change her family's forever. And it's kind of nice that the other folks won't just profit off of it and drag, you know, potentially drag her name through the mud, as things often happen with reality shows. So I'm all for that.
I'm still watching Big Brother. I don't care about Julie Chen, Les Moonves, or anything.
You're watching no matter what.
And I just have to say, please, if you like fun television, maybe a little violent, but I love Preacher. I love it. Love it.
That show is absolutely bananas insane, and it's only gotten crazier. I was talking with some folks the other day about the most recent episode, which pretty much opens up with about a 5 to 10 minute fight that takes place in one room. And honestly, they have some of the best staged fights on television. It's all mostly one take. The camera just kind of zips around the room as four different characters are fighting. It's funny. It's exciting. I love it.
And three words, crazy Betty Buckley. I mean, I'm telling
you. Wait, Betty Buckley from Eight is Enough? Betty Buckley?
Yeah, she is Madame Langelle, and she is a mean, mean old woman.
Wow.
She's really a great actress.
I didn't know she had that in her.
Yep.
That's excellent. All right, I'm watching for that. Do this story for me. Carlton Cuse was one of the guys who first created Lost, and I know he did some work with Netflix on a show called Lock and Key that I don't really know too much about, but there's been some news about it. What do we need to know there?
Yeah, so this is actually based on one of my favorite comic books of all time. It's written by Joe Hill, who's Stephen King's son. The art is by a fantastic artist named Gabriel Rodriguez. It's been bouncing around development for a really long time. There was initially going to be a series on Fox. They shot a pilot, which if you can track down is fantastic, but that never got picked up. Then they were going to do a series of movies. Those never got picked up. They shot another pilot for Hulu, which also didn't get picked up. And now, finally, after years, Netflix has officially picked it up with Carlton Cuse and Joe Hill working together as showrunners for the show. They're going to do 10 episodes, and it's going to be on at some point in the future. And the general pitch for it is there's a weird house up north. Has a bunch of magical keys that each do different things. A family moves into the house and battles a dark entity who wants possession of all the keys.
That sounds good.
It does.
It's fantastic. And a little bit of a spoiler, full disclosure, I actually make a small appearance in the book as
really?
A character.
Really?
So So fingers crossed I'm going to get a cameo on the show.
Oh, that's so exciting.
When are they going to have a Lost reunion? Because I would like a reboot of Lost. So then they can finish it properly.
You know, they've talked about that quite a bit, David
really?
Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. They've said they are done with it. They are completely done with Lost, but they expect, because it was such a popular property, it's only a matter of time until ABC or somebody else does a Lost reboot. But when they do, they're not involved.
Oh, interesting. All right. I'll keep our eyes open for that. Alex, great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
Thanks,
That's
Alex.
Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor over at Decider.com, a really good website. Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hit me with your... Ooh, I almost said the dirty version of that. Hit me with your best shot.
There's a dirty version of this?
I'll tell you off the air.
Is there really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Rock and roll is here to stay, and if you would like to see some live rock and roll, Night Ranger is celebrating an anniversary, which is pretty exciting. 35 years they've been together. What is that? 25 is your silver.
Yeah, I don't know.
35th is paper, I think.
Oh, is it? Are you getting a gift for the guys from Night Ranger?
Maybe.
That's very nice of you.
We have a pair of tickets to see the 35th anniversary tour of Night Ranger, playing all their hits, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and...
Let It Be.
Sister Christian is
Sister Christian.
It really is an
happy
anthem.
Happy birthday to you.
They have some deep cuts, too. It's all happening Friday.
Unfortunate.
No. That means like songs you haven't heard in a while.
I thought they had a
literal
slicing a bagel or something.
No, although that's the number one cause of injuries and trip to an ER.
I know.
Friday, August 17th. This is when the rock and roll will happen live at Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. What a great place! Tickets are currently on sale at Ticketmaster.com for the 35th anniversary tour of Night Ranger. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape, or you can call us right now and let's just do the fifth caller at 312-981-7200. Fifth caller right now gets a pair of ticks to see Night Ranger as they celebrate their 35th anniversary. You need to bring him a gift.
This reminds me of a kid. I'd listen, you know, my parents have WGN on, and Wally Phillips would be giving away Night Ranger tickets. It just reminds me of when I was a kid.
Night Ranger members' dads had a band back then.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't remember what it was called.
I wonder what that was called, huh? How about that?
But they might have been around then.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth caller, 312-981-7200. We'll let you know who wins.
We'll announce the winner. There's a video that I showed you early this morning.
I saw it before.
Oh, did you already see it?
Yeah. I can't watch this.
Why? Well, we should say what it is, and then please tell me why you can't watch this. Here's the story. I could read you the whole story, but I'll just give you a quick synopsis. There's a girl in a McDonald's who decides that even though she didn't pay for a soft drink... You know, a lot of times people will go in and they'll order their food in a restaurant like this, and they've got the soda machine outside where you can, you know, pour your own Coke or root beer. So she just goes, I'll have a water with my quarter pounder with cheese and fries. And then she goes to the machine and she takes pop that she didn't pay for, right?
Everybody does that.
People do that.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think that was the beverage.
What did you think?
A milkshake.
Oh, is it a milkshake? Oh, I thought according to the story. Well, regardless of what it is, there was some drink. Well, she does throw a milkshake at the employee. The McDonald's people didn't handle this really well, I don't think.
Well, the McDonald's employee basically, in a nutshell, beat the crap out of this girl.
Like record-setting beat the crap out of her.
And didn't stop. It's one thing. You know, listen, I know you're not supposed to hit people. By the way, Chrissy from Joliet, I would never hit you. So you can go to the Night Ranger show without fear of anything happening.
That's nice to know, Wendy.
I just wanted to congratulate Chrissy from Joliet going to see Night Ranger Friday, August 17th, Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. I know it's not right to hit somebody, but sometimes everybody has a breaking point, and to just go, what are you doing? And I don't know, slap them. This is
100
times worse.
Right.
Full frontal. One of her girls falls out.
She's wearing a very loose-fitting top that during the scuffle gives way.
Don't wear a tube top if you're planning on getting in a fight.
Boy,
that's all I got to tell you.
I've learned that the hard way.
I bet you have.
I have. All right, here's the story out of Yahoo, right there on your internet. It should be pretty well understood that when you get a soda from a soda fountain at a fast food restaurant, you need to pay for it. And trying to use a water cup to swipe soda isn't going to fly with management. One woman learned her lesson the hard way after allegedly trying to do just that at a McDonald's. The woman, who has not been publicly identified, can be seen in this video shot by an Instagram user. According to the user, the manager then shut down the soda machine because the woman tried to, as we said, get soda with her water cup.
All right, let's overreact, okay? For all the times I buy soda and don't finish mine, who cares? Not everybody does this dishonest thing, but I've seen people do it plenty of times. Is it really that big of a deal? Here's an idea. Don't give out the courtesy water cups then. Make people buy a water.
Oh, you don't want that.
Why?
I don't want to have to buy, because water should be free.
I paid for bottled water.
But that's a scam. bottled water is the biggest scam in the world.
And it's my choice to choose to pay for it.
Yeah, but if you go to a place, they should
they shouldn't
get water.
Give you water Aww. Free. You got to use the cup. If you want a water...
No, water should always be free. You
don't
think so? You want to pay for water?
Well, I don't want to.
No,
but if
water's
they give
on the house. A lot of places give you coffee for free. That's not fair.
I don't know who does that anymore.
No, if you go into a restaurant and you order a coffee, somebody always comes by. Can I top that off for you? Can
yeah,
you want
they
some
top
more coffee?
It off, but they charge you for the first cup.
The first one, yeah. But after that, it's you could just sit there all day.
You can get soda refills, too. Everywhere I go, they just say, you want more Sprite?
I just don't like the idea of paying for water. That's wrong. So a lot of times what they'll do is when you go up and you place your order, they'll have two designated types of cups. They'll have your standard big cup and then fill whatever soft drink you want, or else it's the little styrofoam cup, which is supposed to be used for water.
Or sometimes the little clear cup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes it is.
With no lid.
Right, right. So that they can tell the difference.
Yeah, but is it really going to hurt Ronald McDonald if somebody's dipping into the soda?
In my head, I always justify it. I guess you could say this about just about anything you buy, that if you're buying a 16-ounce thing of Coke or Pepsi or whatever, it probably costs them a nickel, right?
Right. It's the cup. That's
right.
What's charging them. So when they give you these courtesy cups,
Yeah. It's
not really costing them. Although, think about it. If everybody got the courtesy cups and then went and got Coke or Diet Coke.
It would put McDonald's out of business, wouldn't it? Things really escalated from there. The woman and an employee can be seen arguing. They do argue for about 5 seconds, and then it's like a championship fight.
But now something sparked it, and somebody has texted the girl threw a French fry at the manager. It sure
looks like
she
a drink.
Threw a milkshake at her. That's what it really looks like.
Yeah.
And that is not cool. That is not right. But that's when you know what? I'd call the police and say, please escort this girl out of
right.
here. I would
right.
not go up and... beat her up.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad pretty quickly. And there's really two employees taking turns. They're like tag teaming fighting her. Like one just starts wailing on her. When she's done, another one comes out and she starts popping her too.
You know, it's one thing if you're defending yourself in your own house from somebody who's coming in to steal your soda.
Right.
But it's your place of business.
Are there a lot of soda thievery
yeah.
going on in your neighborhood? Is there?
But this is their job. If somebody came in here like and tried to rob us,
happened. We don't talk about it on the air, but we've had people try to rob us during the show.
I wouldn't risk my life trying to protect these computers.
That's
I'd be like, there's another one by Bill. Go
right.
take that one.
Thank you. Thank you. I welcome
just don't
that.
Understand the severity of this beating.
Oh, it's brutal.
And they get the
really
little courtesy
brutal.
Cups they give you are so dinky. Who cares if you take a little bit of soda? Again, you shouldn't. But there are going to be ne'er-do-wells who do it.
Yeah. Sometimes, Wendy, you have to have a Sierra Mist. They're
then
just
buy it.
Your body just craves it. The woman and an employee can be seen arguing over what appears to be a disagreement about paying for the soda before the customer throws a French fry at the employee. It looks like a drink in the video, but
maybe there's more
because
somebody else says she threw a tray at her.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Still, the customer is always right.
Right, right. In a second video, the customer throws a milkshake at the employee. That's what we saw. We saw the milkshake video.
I did
video.
See that.
Her milkshake brings
milkshake.
All the boys to the yard, Wendy.
Yours was better.
And then hits the employee in the head with a tray. So there is a milkshake. There's a tray. It's just crazy.
Can I tell you something? And I can't watch it. It disturbs me so much. I hate seeing people fight.
Yeah.
I know I watch boxing, but they've gone there in their own business. And I don't know. Gloves make a difference, I think. I cannot watch this. It makes me terribly upset.
Yeah.
And if this... person hit if the patron hit the employee in the head with a tray after she was beat up, I don't blame her. She got the crap kicked out
right.
of her.
Well, the tray, from what it looked like, although I don't remember seeing
I don't
a tray,
see the tray,
I remember a milkshake being thrown.
I'm thinking if that's at the end after she was beat up.
Maybe.
I mean, this McDonald's employee could have killed this girl. I mean, it was really bad.
Brutal. Yeah. Yeah. Where was Mayor McCheese during this? Isn't this his jurisdiction? He's got to stop this sort of thing. You just got the same look on your face as when I showed you the video this morning. Oh, ah.
Didn't it upset you?
It upset me, but then I say, I have on occasion said, you know what, I'll just go. And then you're up at the machine and you go, you know what, a little bit of orange soda wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
But and I've gotten yelled at.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a taste. I've gotten it because I always, you know, club soda is my official drink. So one of the places that I go that has a soda machine, one of your options is club soda. And I go, I'm not going to, it's carbonated water.
Well, that you should pay for. That's
it's
not just
water. But
can you get carbonated water out of a drinking fountain?
Not yet.
Out of a tap?
No, but that's got
a bathtub.
That needs to, wouldn't that be fun? Take a carbonated bath
scrubbing
at the end of the
bubbles,
day.
Bubbles, that's what you want?
That is what I want. I would love that.
The carbonated water you should have to pay for.
I don't think so.
Why? Because it's water?
It's water.
But it's having a process.
What does carbon cost?
It's not carbon.
Carbonated water. They put it through carbon. You know what happens with carbon. You can double whatever you got. You just use carbon paper. All of a sudden, you got double or triple what you started out with. It's a miracle.
And I asked a dumb question to the Adler Planetarium person today.
All right. We'll take a break.
Listen to yourself sometime.
What are your thoughts on this? Please give us a call or a text. Just don't punch us. We're 312-981-7200. We want your thoughts on this girl at McDonald's who got wailed on by the employees.
Oh, whaler. No, that's Burger King.
That's Burger King.
Oh.
Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Don't try to steal any soda pop from McDonald's. You'll get a McContusion. There's a video out that shows a woman taking soda pop that she did not pay for, only to be beaten senselessly by two employees of that particular McDonald's.
She better be fired.
I wonder.
You do? She
I wonder
has
what'll
to be
happen.
Fired.
I would think she'd be fired. We'll see how they handle it.
We have someone who I don't know wants to use her real name. I'm not sure. I will leave it up to you. A former McDonald's manager on the line with us. Do you want to use your real name?
Oh, sure. My name is Judy. It was a really long time ago.
Judy, you were a manager at a McDonald's?
I was a head manager. Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What happened to you?
So this lady used to come in every day, like Monday through Friday, and walk up to the station with a old cup that, you know, had spots and stains all over or whatever, and fill up her drink. And it used to really annoy me because, A, against the policy, but B, she was, like, dressed to the nines, right? In the winter, she had on furs. Yeah. I mean, she could clearly afford, you know, the whatever, 89 cents for the drink or whatever, and I lived in a neighborhood, the places in the neighborhood with a lot of teenagers, and I didn't want her setting the example that you can just snarf a drink, you know, anytime you want to, right?
So McDonald's teaches. Oh, go on. I'm sorry. So what does McDonald's say to do?
I just took it in my own hands, I guess. They just, you know, obviously they don't encourage that. And this was, gosh, I don't know, 25 years ago. So it was kind of when refills were kind of a new concept, right?
Yeah.
So one day I said to her, hey, you know, the refills are for after you've purchased a drink, and I can tell by your cup that, you know,
you didn't
not
buy
a new
one.
Cup or whatever. Yeah. And she got so angry and adamant and caused a huge big scene in front of everybody in the restaurant and was like, oh, you know, I'm being abused and all this stuff. And then come to find out, she's like, well, I go through the drive-thru and I buy coffee at 6 a.m., so I've met the qualification for buying a drink today.
That's not necessarily true.
Yeah. But you know what? She never did it again, so that was good.
Well, that's good, and I'm glad you didn't beat the heck out of her, Judy, because that would have been bad.
Yeah, I haven't seen that video. It looked pretty horrible.
All right.
You know,
Please Google it. I really have apprehension. Judy,
you don't
thank
want to put it
calling.
Up on our Facebook page. It's pretty graphic.
It is. And now this just came in. I just got an alert. Crazy alerts that I get. McDonald's fight. New footage shows argument which led to the brawl. Brawl between McDonald's worker Erica Shavola and customer Sabrina Fontelar was caught on camera in Las Vegas. It's gone viral. Everyone's talking about it. Just Google McDonald's brawl and
you'll find it. Right.
Now new footage has emerged showing the argument that led up to the fight.
I want to see that. There's a prequel video.
There is, and it's not just about soda. Fontelar can be heard yelling abuse at Shavola and repeatedly saying, fight me.
Oh, she did.
At one point, she tosses a chip at the counter before the wild brawl breaks out. And she called her a B word, a fat word, and kept saying, fight me, fight me. So moments later, Shavola, 24, charges out from behind the counter, ignoring a milkshake thrown at her head and a blow to the face from a metal tray, and begins brutally beating Fontelaire in a video that millions of people have seen.
Wow.
It's terrible. There's also, remember, we were watching it and that little kid's there.
Yeah.
A kid's there with a mom.
Yeah.
That is not a Happy Meal.
No, it's not. Just the opposite.
How scared would you be if, first of all, you were there and that fight broke out? That was brutal.
I would feel...
Imagine being a little kid, like 8 years old.
Because it's women, I'd feel like I should get in there and break it up. But this woman
could kick your butt.
She's like a Ronda Rousey if she was even meaner and tougher.
Yeah.
You know? She's just popping this woman left and right.
I would have called 911 immediately.
Yeah.
There's no way I would have gotten in the middle of that.
Yes. It's like when you don't get your Monopoly pieces at Jewel. It's the same kind of atmosphere.
I'm going to win someday.
We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. We would love for you to join us, just like this show, only crazier if you can believe that, or stick around for Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.